Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realize this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you love Jesus more today than yesterday, but not half as much as tomorrow? This is Wretched Radio. If perhaps your love has grown cold, perhaps the events du jour, which are also the events of the day, have overwhelmed you, and you find your relationship with your Savior a wee bit flat, would like to give you some joy down in your heart by staring at Jesus with unveiled face. You will be increasingly conformed into his image. You will not be whiplashed by the events of the day. Instead, you will increasingly grow in your love for your Savior. If you will turn your eyes upon Jesus, look long in his wonderful face, the things of this world, including politics, will grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer. We have this book available. Why? Because we think it's so important that we return to the simplicity of Christ and that we start imbibing, not just in the doctrine of justification, not just in the gospel, but in what Jesus has done for us. So every time you hear the word justification from Milton Vincent, think this is what Jesus did for you. Don't detach it from Jesus. This is the core of his redemptive work. So don't just put it on a theological shelf. No, think justification and think Jesus. This is what he did for me. And if you happen to be one of those people who says, justification, kind of a big fancy word, that doesn't sound like the simplicity that is in Christ. Pastor Milton Vincent, Riverside Bible Church, author of Gospel Primer, available at wretched.org/gospel. has a word for you.
Now, I'll admit, justification is a big word.
Love this.
It's a 5-syllable word. And the size of the word, maybe even the sound of the word, people find intimidating. And there's actually been times that I've been preaching or been trying to minister to someone, and I mention the word justification, and they don't use these words, but the vibe I get is like, whoa, that's a huge word there, Pastor Milton. That's kind of overwhelming, and you lost me there, and they just shut down on you. You ever had that happen? It's crazy. And here's the crazy thing. If you say to that very person, hey, tell me about the medications you're taking. It's amazing. All the esoteric names and milligrams and stuff, it just rolls right off their tongue. They speak fluent medicineese. I'm serious. And, tell me about your health. Well, I've got osteoarthritis. That's a 6-syllable word. That doesn't seem to bother you. I've got osteoarthritis. And, the last couple years I've been taking glucosamine chondroitin tablets. And that's helped me out a little bit, but you know what? I went to the doctor the other day, and he told me I need to take 600 milligrams of acetaminophen each day, and I've been doing that, Pastor, and it's been a huge help. I guarantee, and it just rolls right off their tongue, and I guarantee you when a person like that goes into the doctor's office and the doctor says, I think you have osteoarthritis, that person didn't say, whoa, you lost me there, doctor. I'm tuning you out. No, they're like, what is that? Am I going to die from it? And they're pumping the doctor. They're pumping the doctor for as much information as they can, and then what needs to be taken for it, and they're not even content with the information the doctor gives them. They go home and they Google osteoarthritis, and they literally, I watch people do this, they become transformed into experts on their physical condition and on all the medications and dietary changes that need to happen in order to address that physical condition. And you know what? I have no problem with that at all. I think that's great. I think it's phenomenal. And you may say, well, Pastor Milton, of course I would do that because my physical health is at stake. And that's exactly my point. Your spiritual health is at stake when it comes to the doctrine of justification. And it just so happens that the prescription for what ails you is called justification. Google that word. Study that and talk to other people about it. Spend time in the sections of Scripture that lay this doctrine open. And you will find that it is a very big deal and makes a profound difference in your life.
That is truth number one on the doctrine of justification. It is a huge deal. Why? Because this is in the bullseye of who Jesus is. The doctrine of justification cannot be studied too much.
In Romans 1, Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Now, a lot of times when we hear Paul say that, we automatically think he's saying, "I'm not ashamed to preach it." He's definitely saying that. But he's also saying, "I'm not ashamed to be associated with it." And he's also saying, "I'm not ashamed to believe it is true for me." Paul would say, I did some really bad things in my life. Paul would say, there are widows in the church of Jesus Christ right now as I write this letter as a result of sins I committed before I came to faith in Christ. There are orphans. There are widows. I was a blasphemer, a violent aggressor. I tried to force other Christians to blaspheme Jesus. I did many things, Paul would say, before I was saved that causes me to be worthy of eternal damnation. But he says, I'm not ashamed to believe the gospel is true for me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, literally in the Greek text, into salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice his language there. It is the power of God. The gospel is not just a demonstration of the power of God. It's not just a location where God's life-transforming power resides and does some of its work. No, it is the power of God, meaning the gospel is the ultimate location where God's almighty power resides in its thickest density in all the universe. We got to believe this. You hungry for the power of God in your life? You'll find it in the gospel. You can search the universe high and low, and you'll find millions of demonstrations of the power of God. And you'd go to this, you'd go to that, and you'd say, "God, is that the power of God?" And he'd say, no. Yeah, that does demonstrate my power, but that's just the fringes of my ways. The ultimate location where my power resides and does its most amazing work is in the gospel. For it is, the gospel is the power of God into salvation. In other words, it can get people saved, but not only does it get them into the realm of salvation, but once a believer is inside the realm of salvation, the gospel has the power to take them deeper and deeper and deeper into the realm of salvation. To everyone who is continuously believing, this is more than just conversion, but even once a person is a believer, the gospel continues daily to be the power of God in their lives, to take them deeper into the depths of the experience of salvation. Now, why does Paul say that he's not ashamed of the gospel? Why does he say that it is the power of God? Verse 17, the very first description he gives of the gospel by way of explaining why the gospel is so powerful is this. Verse 17, "For," or "because in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." That word righteousness is the same Greek word that's translated justification in many other places in the book of Romans and elsewhere. The justification that comes from God is revealed in the gospel, and it comes to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. We know the doctrine of justification was a big deal to Paul because not only is that the first thing he mentions here about the gospel, but we all know, and we've been in Romans just here today at this conference, but Paul spends Romans 1, Romans 2, the first half of Romans 3, laying out the problem of the sin condition of man, right? But then once he turns a corner in chapter 3, verse 21, and says, "Now I'm going to unfold for you the panorama of the gospel," It's all about justification until the end of chapter 5. And chapter 3, verse 21 to 31, it's all justification. All of chapter 4 is about justification. All of chapter 5 is about justification. He spends 57 verses talking about justification by faith, the mechanics of it, the ramifications of it, how it happens, why it needs to happen, and the blissful consequences of justification in the lives of God's people. 57 verses laying open this doctrine before he delivers a single command and even gets to the topic of sanctification.
That means the doctrine of Jesus revealed in the doctrine of justification is a big deal. It is a life-transforming deal, and we must be careful that we don't simply talk about the gospel, dissect the doctrine of justification, if we do not grow in our love for the one who accomplished our justification. And when we do that, that could be the key to a life of increased love for your Savior. And we will endeavor to do that very thing, courtesy of Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer, wretched.org/gospel. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for being here at Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who take time to tune in and listen on a daily basis. And we also appreciate each and every one of you who are gospel partners. You can partner with Wretched right now to save the lost. As a matter of fact, the more you give, the more we're always able to give away. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people, just like you. We're members in good standing of the ECFA. In other words, we can't waste your money, even if we wanted to, which we don't and never would. Get all the information right now on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Your faithful and consistent support will help Wretched reach millions of people all around the world. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. You can give either at wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word Wretched to 44321. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, but the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe, and that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
How do I live in a world that hates me? If you find yourself asking that question, you're not alone. America is changing right under our feet. What's up is down, and what's down is now up. How do we respond as Christians to a world that's increasingly hostile toward us? Well, thankfully, God has much to say on the subject, and it may actually shock you to hear. God doesn't want us to reclaim America. He doesn't want us to impose our will on society. So, what does God want? Well, you can find out by downloading and watching our resource, Persecution, which is available now for a limited time for free. This 13-part series will carefully walk you through the book of 1 Peter, God's marching orders for living in an upside-down world. Persecution sets forth a biblical response to what's likely the most urgent question for Christians today. How do we live in a world that hates us? Download your copy of Persecution free right now by visiting wretched.org/persecution. That's wretched.org/persecution.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality. emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got joy? Well, you're gonna. This is Wretched Radio. If you have been lacking in joy and increasing love for your Savior, it is time for you to meditate on the doctrine of justification.
Justification is this. It is an instantaneous legal act of God in which He, number one, decides to think of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, and number two, declares us to be righteous in His sight. We come to God with our sin mess, and we're under His wrath, and we come to Him in brokenness, acknowledging our bankruptcy. We give up on ourselves and our own puny, self-righteous efforts, and we deposit our trust in Jesus, and a decision is rendered. And God makes a decision to think forever of our sins as forgiven from that moment on, and to think of Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. And God declares, and trust me, this is an enthusiastic declaration. It's not, all right, you're justified. No, we learn later in Romans 5, justification comes abounding to sinners. In other words, it comes with an exclamation point. It doesn't matter what kind of sins you've committed. If you've never believed in Jesus up to this point, and you just bring your sins and your sinful self to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your trust in Him tonight, God will be pleased to render this decision about you. God will be pleasured, and enthusiastically, He will decide that starting tonight, He will forever think of your sins as forgiven, and He will forever think of Christ's perfect, spotless righteousness as belonging to you. And God says, I will now treat you as if you've never sinned, because your sins are forgiven, and I will now forever treat you for all of eternity as if you did all the righteous things that Jesus did. That's a great deal.
It is the best deal. That is Pastor Milton Vincent, author of The Gospel Primer. It is currently available at wretched.org/gospel. Why? Because we all need this. And it's not just because of the season that we are currently living in. We need this all the time because this is the best thing there is. Understanding that because of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are forever justified. If you don't have that gospel primer, encourage you to get it at wretched.org/gospel. It is written by the very man who just spoke those words, and a sermon on justification, a legal declaration that is enthusiastically proclaimed about you. Forever beloved. It's not merely forgiven. It is forever beloved. And that is what makes justification a big deal. That is what makes justification yours through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone.
Paul says in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way anyone will ever get God to render this verdict about them is through Jesus. It comes to us through Jesus. And yet there are so many people who want God to render this verdict about them. In fact, I believe almost everyone who believes there's a God, what they're all bucking for is that they're going to stand before God one day and God says, you're righteous. You're righteous enough to get into heaven. Just about everyone wants that. But rather than consulting with God on how to get that verdict, they come up with their own ideas about how to get that verdict. A number of years ago, USA Today did a survey of over 640 Americans, and they asked the question, it's an interesting question for a national newspaper, they asked the question, what do you think are your chances of getting into heaven are? And they got a variety of responses. I just want to read one response from a woman in Hammond, Indiana. She says, my chances are kind of slim, maybe 50-50. I have to be more of a nice person, but I'm still in the running. This is a woman who is looking to herself. And what a poor existence. And she lives her life not certain whether she's going to get this verdict on Judgment Day or not. At best, it's 50-50, but she's like, I got to be more of a nice person. I'm still in the running, but I'm not sure of the outcome. What I would want to say to her and to anyone who's depending upon themselves and their own righteousness to get into heaven is this, that if you're interested in having God render this verdict of justification upon you, listen to God, who's going to render that verdict, tell you how to get him to render that verdict. And God says it's only through Jesus.
And him alone. Why? Because Jesus Christ is that good to bring about our justification, which also brings about a little something I suspect you're itching for these days. P-E-A-C-E.
The word peace, as many of you know, speaks of more than just the absence of hostility. It speaks of the luxurious presence of all that is needed to have a rich and a vital and an intimate relationship with the sovereign God of the universe. We now observe that though our justification, yes, is legal, it was rendered with a profoundly relational intention by God.
Brace yourself.
God has justified you, if you believed in Jesus, in order to bring you into close, rich, vital relationship with himself. God justified you. He would say, listen, I did the whole justification thing to get the sin out of the way, to get you clothed with the righteousness of my son, so that I can now give myself to you, and we can have a friendship and have a relationship. I love what the commentator Cranfield says. God does not confer the status of righteousness upon us without at the same time giving himself to us in friendship and establishing peace between himself and us.
Please drink this in. Don't glide over the top of this. Don't skim on the doctrine of justification and that you now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let yourself feel this.
I want you, don't brush this off. I want to ask you tonight, do you receive what I'm saying? Do you believe that God actually wants a rich, vital, luxurious friendship characterized by intimacy and closeness with you? Do you believe that? Do you believe you're justified and the reason he justified you was not as an end in itself, but as a means to a greater end of now having a relationship with you? Answer that question in your heart. I'll never forget a number of years ago, I was talking to a man in our church who had known the Lord for 9 years. And I knew how long he had known the Lord because I had led him to the Lord 9 years earlier. But he seemed pretty low and discouraged. And I was meeting with him on a Friday morning. And right before he left, I stopped him and I asked him, I said, brother, are you enjoying intimacy with God? Are you enjoying intimacy with God? And this man turned around and looked at me and he said, listen to his words. He said, oh, Milton, you have no idea the things I did before I was saved. Do you realize what he was saying by that? This is a man who would say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, my sins are forgiven, I'm justified. But God wouldn't want a close relationship with me. And he's like, and I'm okay with that. I don't even deserve that. I'm okay to just be forgiven and to have a home in heaven, but closeness with God, that's for people who haven't done the things I did before I was saved. And it was my joy to speak these truths into this brother. No, God justified you and forgave you so that he could bring you into intimate friendship with himself.
Do you believe that beyond being able to answer the question rightly on a theological exam? God sent his son to deal with your sin problem so that, not just to deal with your sin problem, and that is a big deal, so that you can be in an intimate relationship with God, the Lord of the universe desires that and has provided a means for that, so that when you wake up in the morning and you think, okay, I've got to get my quiet time done or my prayers offered, you're not praying to an idol carved of wood. You're praying to the Lord who sent his son to die for you, a sinner, so that you can know him, talk to him, and hear from him through his word, and have peace with God. Have you digested that lately, or have you just maybe taken a couple of nibbles and moved on to other doctrines for the sake of learning? If you don't have peace today, please do not move off of this point until you do. This is Wretched Radio.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't get it yet. This is Wretched Radio. Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer, available at wretched.org/gospel. I heartily commend it to you. Preaching on the doctrine of justification, that it's a big deal, that your sins can be forgiven only through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be totally justified. It is yours forever. A legal, joyful declaration, forgiven and made righteous, all yours through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might have peace with God. And if you have not yet drunk that in, perhaps this visual from Milton Vincent will help you.
Imagine you come to the cross, you believe in Jesus, your burden rolls off your back, your sin burden, you get clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. And then Jesus comes to you and says, oh, you think that's amazing? There's so much more. And he says, come with me. I want to take you to my Father now. That's what this is all about. That's the whole reason I got you dressed up like this, so you could actually be in my Father's presence. And he grabs you and he takes you by the arm. And imagine whatever scene you want, a beautiful palace scene. And he's taking you to the palace of the sovereign king of the universe. And as you get closer and closer to that palace, your heart maybe starts to shrink back in fear. Like, do I really want to see and be seen by this God under whose wrath I used to be? And Jesus takes you down whatever corridors. And then here you come to the door, behind which is this God of the universe. And you shrink back at the door and you're like, I don't know, Jesus. And Jesus says, trust me, my Father thinks of you as forgiven. And he thinks of you as righteous with my righteousness. Just trust me, come with me inside this room. And we come inside the room and there's God. And he greets us in warm friendship and relationship. And we're like, I can't believe I'm here and I'm not being struck dead. And then after we're in his presence for a couple minutes, we're like, should I stay or should I leave? How long do I get to stay here? And if I leave after a couple minutes, I'm going to spend the rest of my life celebrating the fact that I got to spend a couple minutes with the sovereign king of the universe. And we look at Jesus and it's like, I'm feeling kind of awkward. I mean, should I leave now? And Jesus says, no, actually, I brought you in here because you're welcome to stay here for the rest of your life. John Stott says, justified believers enjoy a blessing far greater than an occasional audience with the king. We are privileged to live in the temple and in the palace with that king. We get to stay. Stay under God's grace at all times.
That is what Jesus has done for you. Lying in a gutter, filthy, smelly, disgusting. He comes along, cleans you up, dresses you up, not to keep you sitting in the gutter, but for a reason. He gussies you up so that you can enjoy a relationship with God Himself. This isn't being clothed with His righteousness just so that God doesn't see you as if it's somehow making you invisible from His wrath. No. He dresses you up in robes of righteousness so that you can be in His presence and enjoy Him forever. May I ask you, do you get that?
Notice how Paul uses the word grace. Verse 2, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. What does the word grace mean? Undeserved favor, right? Whenever you see grace, think favor and think undeserved. In fact, think ill-deserved. In other words, it's not only have we not earned it, but it's the opposite of what we have earned. That's grace. And you might look at what Paul's saying and say, all right, so Paul's telling me I'm in God's gracious favor, I'm in God's presence, and I don't deserve it. Why does Paul have to throw that up in my face? You're here, but you don't deserve to be here. Paul actually has a wonderful intention here. Guys, if we can lay hold of the fact that our being in God's good favor and being in His presence and having a friendship with Him, if we can just get it through our heads that it's all an ill-deserved favor, it will forever cure us of ever thinking we have anything to do with earning that. It will forever cure us of thinking on our good days that we deserve to be here, and on our bad days of thinking, I guess I don't deserve to be here because I've done some bad things today. We don't realize it, but there's actually arrogance underneath that. You realize that? If on a bad day you're like, oh, I don't deserve to be in God's presence and I'm out of His favor, what that means is yesterday on your good day, you actually thought you deserved it. Come on. We don't deserve good favor on our best days any more than our worst days. Guys, I'm trying to deliver you from an ugly cycle I've been on many times in my life. We need to preach this grace to ourselves on our good days, not just our bad days. There have been times in my life where I've been doing really well spiritually, practicing the disciplines, in the Word, praying, and ministering to other people, sharing the gospel with others, and I'm really good. And the devil comes along and just kind of says, hey, Milton, you're doing well lately. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I mean, you're in the Word. Look at that. Look at you. In the Word and practicing the disciplines, that's great. And I'm like, yeah. And he'll say, kind of looking around, Milton, you're actually doing a lot better than other people around you in the church, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. And then he'll say this, God must really favor you because of how well you're doing. And there have been times I've said, yeah, yeah. And you guys know exactly what happens after that, right? The rug gets pulled out from underneath me. I fail in some significant way. And because I bought into the lie that I deserved His favor to any degree, now that I have failed, I now believe I've lost that favor. Guys, preach this truth to yourself on your best days as much as you do on your worst days.
Pastor Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer, an encouragement for you to get that book at wretched.org/gospel so that you can indeed preach the gospel to yourself every day so that you can enjoy the luxurious peace that is offered through you, granted to you through Jesus Christ alone, so that you can have joy.
Don't have the attitude of, okay, I'm justified, glad that's taken care of. Okay, Lord, give me rules to live by. I'm going to do this sanctification thing. Don't do that. God actually wants you. He justifies you. It's a once and for all occurrence, but he wants you to take that reality and put it in front of your face and walk with that reality in front of your face day by day. That's what Paul did. Look at this, Romans chapter 5. Look at the end of verse 2. Or let's start in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult. That's present tense. We are continuously exulting. Paul would say, I've known the Lord for decades now, and I'm still exulting over my justification. We exult continuously in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, we exult even in our tribulations because we're justified. Verse 11, we exult in God. Here's Paul, decades into his walk with the Lord, decades after he was justified and received this verdict, and Paul's saying, we exult, we exult, we exult. When you read Romans 5, you're not reading a man passively writing doctrine. You observe in this chapter a man in worship who is worshiping and exulting in the reality of his justification. We know from chapter 16 that Tertius was the man who was writing down what Paul was saying. So he's dictating this letter. And I just imagine Paul just pacing the room, man. And he's getting excited. He spent how many verses talking about justification? And he comes in chapter 5 and he's like, we exult, we exult, we exult. Write down this reference, Psalm 32, verse 11. David says, be glad in the Lord and exult, you righteous ones. And in the Greek translation of Psalm 32:11, it's the same Greek word that's used here. That's a call to worship in Psalm 32:11. And Paul says, I'm responding to that call to worship. I'm a righteous one, and I'm exulting, I'm exulting, I'm exulting. He's rejoicing in this.
And God wants you to. That's why he sent his son to die for you. If you've been experiencing more languishing than exulting, please study the doctrine of justification. Would encourage you also get Milton Vincent's book, The Gospel Primer. We have it. We don't normally do this, but it's so important that we return to the simplicity in Christ in the gospel. You can get it at wretched.org/gospel. What a savior. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, hello there. Thanks for stopping by to Wretched Radio. Okay, that sounded a little creepy, but regardless, thank you for tuning in to Wretched Radio today. We do appreciate you listening to the radio program every single day, and we also want to point you in the direction of Wretched TV. That's right, a 30-minute program hosted by Todd each and every day. It contains live witnessing encounters, discussions of tough theological issues, and various topics in the Christian community. You can watch those full-length Wretched TV episodes right now, available to you at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV. Also, Wretched is available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. You know, it's only because of our gospel partners that we can make Wretched TV available to everyone. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please consider becoming one? You can get all the details on that at wretched.org/donate and help us to continue to make Wretched available to everybody. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 little disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Hey, yo, fam, it's your main man, Jimmy Jam. Apparently, the hip and relevant thing to do these days is target millennials, and that's exactly what we've done, too. We found our very own millennial, John Fabares, who put together a squad and hit the road to tackle the tough issues that millennials are struggling with. Why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What is truth? Millennials have questions, and Road Trip to Truth is answering those questions in a clear, concise, and biblical manner. We want to reach this generation, your kids and your grandkids, and we believe this resource is an excellent way to open the door to important conversations we need to be having. Visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copy of this 13-episode series, along with the Bible study that's perfect for middle schoolers through adults. It's roadtriptotruth.org. Roadtriptotruth.org.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to practice what was just preached? This is Wretched Radio. Would like to lay on you a whole lot of theology. And your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to not just learn some new stuff about God, but to exult in this knowledge. This is the dreaded cliche, the 8-inch journey that must take place from our head to our heart. Let us see if we can apply what we just heard from Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer. You can find that at wretched.org/gospel. Encourage you to do so that you can exult in the doctrine of justification, but not just in the knowledge of it, but in the person who wrought it for you and delivered it and sealed it to make sure that you can never lose the joyful verdict that God proclaims over you, forgiven and righteous. This is Milton Vincent. It is a lengthy theological dump. Let us not just learn theology anymore. Will you commit to that? I'm trying to. Failing, but trying. Not just reading my Bible anymore for the sake of learning more stuff. Or under a sense of duty. Well, you got to be in there every day. No read, no feed. I got to make sure that I'm reading my Bible. No, I get to read my Bible so that I can get to know the one who died to save me and rose to seal my forgiveness.
Paul says, having now been justified by his blood, he's speaking of the shed blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross through the bloody death of Jesus on the cross.
Romans 5.
That's the purchase of this verdict. So while justification of us is free and it's a gift from God, we now find out it's actually very costly. It cost Jesus his life for us to receive this free gift of a verdict of righteousness. In Romans 5:18, Paul says, so then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Through one transgression, the transgression of Adam, there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. This is what I would want to say to people that are really impressed with their own righteousness. And they think when they stand before God on judgment day, he's going to say, you're good enough, you're righteous enough. I would just beckon them to go to the cross and see the ultimate act of righteousness that's ever been performed. It will ruin you forever. It'll ruin your view of your own righteousness. You'll never see your own righteousness the same. Here is Jesus in the garden Lord, is there any other way? And there's no other way. He's sweating, as it were, drops of blood, and he obeys his father in the ultimate act of obedience and allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. Not only was he displaying amazing righteousness and obedience in going to the cross, but it's the greatest act of love of one's neighbor, love of one's fellow man that's ever been performed in the history of human civilization, as he was willing to shed his blood and to lay down his life for the salvation of all who would come to him by faith. Just take non-believers who are impressed with their own righteousness to the cross and just have them observe this one act of righteousness. Paul was impressed with his own righteousness until he met Jesus. And if you think your own good works are going to get you to heaven, think about Paul. This guy was a Pharisee. This guy was a religious Jew. This guy tithed 20% of his income. 20% of his income he gave to charity every year. And then every third year he gave 30% of his income to charity, essentially. Fasting probably a couple times a week, eating only kosher foods, and very religiously following the Old Testament law as carefully as he could. Paul's own human righteousness would probably blow anyone's righteousness away in this room. But while he was impressed with that, he had an encounter with Jesus. And after seeing Christ in his perfect righteousness, Paul then looked back at himself and he's like, whoa, this is what happened. It ruined his own view of his righteousness. And he's like, I don't want to be caught dead in my righteousness. I do not want to be found by God on judgment day in my own righteousness derived from the law, but I want to be found in the righteousness that is through faith in Jesus. This righteousness comes from Jesus. And not only that, you know, through his work on the cross, that purchased our justification, but it says in Romans 4:25 that he, Christ, was raised for our justification. You say, well, I don't know if that makes sense. He died for our justification. He was raised for our justification. Here's how you fit the two together. His dying on the cross was the purchase of our justification. His rising from the dead is the receipt that validates that purchase. It's God the Father enthusiastically declaring, this purchase of the life of my Son is sufficient to atone for the sins of all who will believe in Jesus and to entitle them to receive this verdict of justification. God looked at Christ's perfect sacrifice, and then he looked at every sin you've ever committed. The sins you've committed that other people about, the sins you've committed in your thoughts and in your deeds that no one knows about, and you shudder to think that anyone would ever find out. Your deepest, darkest sin secrets. God, who sees all of that, he looked at all of your sin mess. He looked at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and God said, I accept this as payment for this. And in raising Jesus from the dead, God is giving you a receipt that says you can take this to the bank. You can carry this around wherever you want. This will always validate the fact that when Christ died, he atoned for your sins if you have believed in him, and you are justified. And the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago is the standing proof of the fact that you are justified all day, every day, good days and bad days, waking or sleeping, because of what Jesus has done. It has nothing to do with your performance.
Death purchased it for you. The resurrection is the receipt that the transaction has been accepted. It is formalized. It is now a contract that cannot be broken by God and certainly not by you. Do you really think you can lose your salvation? It's just impossible. You can't do it. Which is why, after Paul has laid forth the doctrine of justification in Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 8, it really is the zenith of this theological treatise on the doctrine of justification. Is there something you think that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Notice, in Christ Jesus, which is what he said in Romans 5, 1 and 2. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Do you really think you can get yourself out of this legal declaration that God himself made when he raised his son from the dead? You can't get out of it. You would somehow have to be invalidating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you really think you can accomplish that? Which is why Paul labors. Nothing can do that. And then he gives a laundry list that is quite thorough and exhaustive, and then he puts an exclamation point on it. Nothing. Principalities, powers, heights, depths, anything in between. And then he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And the resurrection is your receipt to that promise. Good theology, huh? That's a good one. We'd probably all write that down in our sermon note booklet. Jesus purchased our justification when he died. He gave us a receipt when he raised from the dead. I'm going to use that one. Cool. Use it. But believe it first. Enjoy it first. That was done for you, on your behalf, so that you might be clothed in righteousness. Jesus did all of that for you. Think on these things. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world by constantly consuming cable news, reading internet feeds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is your reasonable act of worship. Maybe your prayer life has been stale, your quiet time flat. Remember, Jesus has granted you righteousness, his perfect spotless robe of righteousness. Your filthy garments of porn, lying, cheating, self-love, self-righteousness, covetousness, all of that filth was put on him. And in exchange, he gives you his robes to bring you into the luxurious presence of God so that you might have peace with him and enjoy him forever. Ever. If that is not sinking into your Christian DNA, please dwell on these things. This is Wretched Radio.